This is KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM on your radio dial. If you want to listen to us online, go to kptz.org. You can listen to this show live online or reach back and even listen to a couple of earlier shows as podcasts. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around town? The guy driving the almost empty bus through Fort Worden, regular as clockwork. The woman behind the bar at the American Legion Hall. The guys driving the ambulance. What about those teenagers smoking near the boiler room? Who are they? This show, Our Town, profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work in Port Townsend. We talk with people who make up the special eclectic mix in Jefferson County. We talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the northwestern edge of the USA. We'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and teenage beauty queens. We'll find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in Port Townsend. Listening to Our Town is a way to meet some of Port Townsend's authentic and even eclectic people. Your neighbors, your friends, and particularly the people you don't know yet, but you'd like to meet them. Today, my guest is Bonnie Macy, a physical therapist who's helped so many members of the community over the years. Welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Thanks.
So let's start at the beginning. Were you born in Port Townsend? How did you end up here?
No, I was raised in New England. In New Hampshire for most of my life. I was born in Massachusetts, and I went to school in New York City in upstate New York to get my physical therapy degree from Ithaca College.
Well, in New Hampshire, what did your folks do?
My dad did numerous jobs. His last job was working for the state, and he was an inspector for the state and worked some in the state house in Concord, in our capital, and also did inspections on buses. He also was a cop for many years and a fireman and kind of jack of all trades.
And what about your mom? Was she a homemaker?
She was a homemaker, but she also worked in our school cafeteria. She loves to cook and bake, so it was kind of a natural for her to do that.
Well, how did you pick Ithaca as a place to go to school? It's pretty cold there.
Yeah, but I was raised in New Hampshire, the land of the endless winter, as I think of it. So it wasn't a big stretch from the winters in New Hampshire to the snow belt region of New York.
I see. And when you first went to college, even before you started, did you know what you wanted to do?
Oh, I thought I wanted to be a physical education teacher because we had older family friends, the girls that were a little older than I was, and they were phys ed teachers and loved it and did real well. And I liked activity a lot, just being in action. I'm very kinesthetic. So moving around and doing lots of activity is very
appealing. Were you real athletic as a kid?
Yes. I water skied, snow skied. Did gymnastics in high school, played basketball, field hockey.
Okay, yeah. Well, I can see how being a PE teacher would really appeal to you then.
Right, but from when I first got to college, we had a little introductory class for all of us that were in phys ed as majors, and there was a little book, and there was a tiny little paragraph, not even 2 inches long in the book, that described physical therapy, and I'd never heard of it before. I read the paragraph, and it said something about rehabilitating those that are injured or ill and getting them back to their highest level of function or something. It was very basic, and I read it, and I said, oh, that's what I want to do.
Wow.
So I talked to my advisor, and she said, oh, that's a fabulous career to go into. And she had me observe a physical therapist who used the college pool for patients for some of their therapy to make sure I had an idea of what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, that's it. So we arranged my classes. And at that point, I was in a 2-year school, but we arranged my classes so I had enough science to transfer in to get my physical therapy degree at Ithaca.
So they actually had a degree specifically in physical therapy.
I have a Bachelor of Science in Physical Therapy.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, my impression as a layman or laywoman is that physical therapy has a lot more people use it now than did, let's say, 25 years ago. Is that correct, or is that something I'm just imagining?
I think you're correct in that it's they found more and more important ways to use it. I mean, they use it for people. Now there's also physical therapists for animals.
Really?
Yes. There's degrees, and you can get special certifications to work with animals. I took home study classes in both equine and canine physical therapy as part of my continuing ed.
That's interesting. I had no idea. Well, okay.
Wide realm.
What, in order to get your degree, and it's a science degree, what were some of the kind of courses that you took?
Anatomy, physiology, physics, medical science, pathology, 2 years of anatomy and physiology, and our senior year of anatomy in New York City, we actually dissected cadavers because we had to be able to identify all the different layers of muscles and nerves and arteries and
That's
bones.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions about that. First is an obvious one. Where do they get the cadavers?
People that donate their bodies either for organ donors or science or those kind of things. And I believe also that some of the cadavers we had were also unknown, people mm-hmm. that had died and had no one claim the bodies.
Right.
Now, as well.
I mean, you had already taken a fair amount of science at that point, but did you find it difficult to deal with a dead human body?
No, I found it interesting. And we each, like, they were grouped as so many per cadaver.
Right. That
so
makes sense.
I think there were 6 or 8 of us on the cadaver that I was part of. And again, we had to dissect down to the finest layers, like skin layers, and layer by layer you went through. And I found I had no clue. I'm really good with a scalpel. Huh. So I was really the fine work. I did all the finest work, and I think that's part of why once I got my degree and looked into more continuing education classes and are there areas I want to specialize in, I became a wound care specialist. And not a lot of my other therapy co-workers want to even go near that, but I actually would cut out dead tissue from infected or really bad wounds. And you want to get just the dead tissue and none of the healthy tissue. So I think back to those hours I spent in the dissecting lab and studying that. Yeah, good with a scalpel.
Huh. Well, that's a term I don't think too many of our listeners know about. So it's called a wound care specialist.
Yes.
And so when would you be called in? What's the situation that would require a wound care specialist?
Well, there's different classifications, like of severe burns versus a light little one. You know, mm-hmm. you touch something lightly and you get a little red, not a big deal. But when it goes through the skin layer, and sometimes they go down to the bone, some from pressure sores, and we think of them as craters that I can look in and see bones sometimes from pressure sores. They're
wow.
that deep. And often they get infected. For various poor circulation is part of getting a pressure sore. So when you look at it, sometimes they're infected. And in order for a wound to heal, it needs to be a healthy wound. So you want to get out all the dead, non-viable tissue so it looks like red, and that's healthy tissue. So that's what I go in. I'm trained to go in. And some you can put products on that help dissolve some of that. And then others, I literally gangrene. Some are black. I have to cut out all the necrotic black tissue. That's dead tissue. And sometimes that forms like a hard covering over the surface of the wound, and the wound doesn't have a chance of healing until you get that off. So it's classes, and in the classes, we're tested on dissecting because it's fine work to be able to cut the dead tissue and not nick the healthy and
I think it would be
disrupt that.
Now, is this a Hollywood myth or reality? Somewhere I heard that they're now reintroducing maggots into wound care. Is that
true?
They
do. They do. Maggots can clean out because they only eat dead tissue. So they do. And I've seen that. I've had friends that work with animals. I have a good friend down in California that works with animals, and she's used maggots on some bad wounds on animals to eat the dead tissue. So there are cases, and I know there's places in the world where they never stop doing that.
Right, exactly.
So yes, that is done in the States now too.
And is it done occasionally on people at this point?
Oh, I'm sure it is, that there's places in the U.S. where it's done, but it's not something that I've run into or that we used in my classes.
Okay, all right. So you went through this educational period and you were about to graduate. Most people graduating have moments of pure panic, like, what do I do now? Where am I going to get a job? What happened with you?
I'm not that kind of person.
Okay.
So no panic. I don't do what ifs. I don't like what ifs. So because physical therapy is a good profession to get into from the minute I graduated, which was in 1975, there have always been more jobs than therapists. So that was the case then. And the current predictions, as far as my American Physical Therapy Association, is that trend is going to even get worse. There will continue to be even more jobs than there are physical therapists. So it was like, pick where you want to be and what you want to do. And at that point, I have a great love of water activities and sports. I went from New York and went down to the New Jersey Shore, and I was hired before I finished graduating.
Wow.
By a big rehab center. I was one of 12 physical therapists. It was Garden State Rehab, Toms River, New Jersey.
So you had a job before you even graduated.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so is it still a really good field for people to get into?
It is. If you like healthcare and working with people, and because there's so many different areas of specialization. So there's therapists that only work with pediatrics, only work with kids.
Right.
There's ones that just do neuro rehab for strokes and brain injuries. I do a lot of orthopedic, so fractures and post-surgery. And so you can specialize. There's such a demand. You can do home health, which I did for 13 years in New Jersey and California. So there's lots of different ways.
So home health means you go into people's homes in order to help them at a home environment?
Right.
Okay.
Because mostly there are people that, for whatever their injury or post-surgery or disability is, it's not easy for them to get out of the home.
Right.
So we go in, assess them, and help them function the best where they need to, rather than putting them in an ideal rehab where all the counters are at the right height for wheelchairs and everything. Homes aren't that way.
Yeah, most people
don't
have
their house. So you go in and
you
help make the adaptations that are necessary for their highest level of function.
Okay. So what would you say are the biggest challenges you have found in your field?
Doing all the paperwork and business end of it. Because in physical therapy, my school, we had no training at all to do with the business end. Nothing at all. And also, we didn't have computers then.
Yes.
So all that was part of what I learned as I went around. I took night classes in computers when they came out and got the hang of that, and then learned all the paperwork as it goes.
And then continually
the insurance companies and Medicare kind of leads the realm in what the changes are going to be as far as documentation.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, I could see that if someone was getting an education today to be a physical therapist, having some business and accounting training would be helpful as well.
Right. I think what they focused on for us when we were in our senior year especially was just seeing where you wanted to work and thinking, well, you're going to work for someone else. So they have departments that cover all that. They didn't gear us up from getting right out of school, you're going to go into business for yourself, so you will need all these skills.
But obviously, when you first got out of school, you did indeed go to work for a big company, or relatively big company, so you didn't have to do it. But you ended up, your career path, now you're in private practice. How did that come about? How did you make that choice?
even when I did home health, I was an independent contractor. So I took care of my own insurance. There were no benefits. I got a flat rate per patient visit or per hour of patient care for the different home health agencies I work for. So that started all the paperwork. I had to fill out insurance forms and report forms. And so that started it. So I had a good background of kind of easing me into that from when I was in my mid to late 20s. I was already doing home health.
I see. So you were in New Jersey first.
Mm-hmm.
Did you somehow go straight from New Jersey to Port Townsend, or were there some other stops in the middle?
California. I'd been in New Jersey. I also like to travel a lot, so kind of did the Caribbean and Eastern Seaboard and places from that area, and I figured I just felt done. And I like change. I like new places. So I thought about, well, I think I'm ready to move, and I want to move somewhere where the water will be warm enough for me to do some of my water things. I was a scuba diver at that point, windsurfer, and more water activities. So I wasn't big on the South, and I thought, well, kind of leave Southern California.
Right, it got warm weather there.
And I had a good friend from my first 2 years of school that lived out there, so I called Lisa up and said, thinking of moving to San Diego area. And she said, oh, come on out, that I could stay with her and her husband, Steve, until I found a place. And I had her send me copies of their San Diego Times newspaper so I could look for jobs. And again, I was hired before I ever did my move.
Wow. And how long did you stay in California?
I was there 3 years, and because I did home health, I covered 100 to 125 miles a day on my car in southern San Diego County. And it was a lot of traffic, very busy, and I just thought, you know, I think I'm ready for a more rural environment. And I had strangers that year just turn to me. I'd be somewhere, and I'm not someone that just chats to people because they're nearby. I'm always on a mission. And people would just turn and say, have you ever been to Seattle? You ought to check out that area. So I just feel it was like that paragraph in the book that I read and thought, that's what I want to do, is I was kind of guided to go check out this area. And in doing so, and other people directing me to check out the peninsula for work and all that, I found Port Townsend. Thought, oh, amazing. And again, found jobs before I ever got here.
And what did you do when you first came here?
I ended up working at Katai Care Center. And I thought, as I was, you know, doing my move up, I thought, oh, it should probably take me about 4 years until doctors get to know who I am and how I practice as a physical therapist, and then I can open my own practice right on target.
And so what year did you open your own practice?
1999. I moved here in 1995. May of 1995, I moved, and in May of 1999, I opened my own practice.
Wow. Now, you said a bit earlier that you mainly see orthopedic-type clients in your practice, and I guess that covers the range of anything. You have any particular areas of specialty?
See a lot of shoulders. I have taken a lot of continuing ed classes on different shoulder techniques, and I kind of figure it all out. Plus, I have a background also as a massage therapist. After I became a PT in New Jersey, when I was living there, I had a nurse friend that I helped with some physical therapy issues who was also a massage therapist. And when I saw the hands-on and how much in-depth the massage therapy body work is, I thought, this is really important. And so I ended up going through the massage state certification. I took an exam and everything else in New Jersey and got that licensure there. And then when I moved to California, the first year I was there, they offered a national certification in massage, and I took that exam. It was a national exam, and I've taken a lot of hands-on. And so I combined that in with my physical therapy techniques, and I started seeing shoulders that were complicated, that had failed everywhere else. And after seeing a couple of people from the boatyard here, they told all their friends, if anyone says shoulder, go see Bonnie Macy.
Yeah.
And then through doctors and chiropractors, I had a couple chiropractors here initially, one that I treated his shoulder, and he's like, oh, you're the best game in town. So I had lots of referrals on shoulders.
Okay. Well, in addition to regular physical therapy and massage therapy, you also utilize some interesting technology in your cold laser. Can you explain to people what that is? I don't think most people understand at all what a cold laser is.
So a cold laser is a light therapy. Our profession has used ultrasound for years. Even before I went through school, that was probably around for 50 years. And that's sound therapy. So it's done through a sound vibration that goes into the body and improves circulation, helps tissues heal. And I think Europe was ahead of the U.S. with light therapy, which gets into laser, because it's different parameters of light waves and hertz that are built into these little transmitter, kind of little handle with a little round metal head on that light emits from. So by changing the levels of the light waves in there, it changes what it can do. And the laser I use is considered a cold or low-level laser because it doesn't create heat in the tissues. Hot lasers are what they use to remove cataracts. They
right.
can take out gallbladders. So it's newer technology. Instead of when I was going through school, I remember gallbladder surgery was horrible. Now they do laser, and the same with cataract surgery. It's so precise because they can change those light waves and precisely gear them. So if I want to do a tissue that's inflamed, which is only when something's hot, red, and swollen. So if someone has an injury, it's all hot, red, it hurts to even touch it.
Right.
I can do laser on that, and it immediately starts decreasing the inflammation. It works on a cellular level. As I'm moving that little emitter head on the skin, there's no pain. Most people don't feel anything. If they feel anything, they'll say, it already feels better. There's no pain. There's no discomfort. It doesn't sting. So it's a pleasant treatment, and you don't need to put any goos on as a conductor like you do with the ultrasound.
Right.
So I can do that, or if a muscle's in spasm and really tight, and a lot of people know what that is.
Yeah.
We have areas we hold tension. As I can put the setting for that, I can change it to a deep setting, and it will go all the way 5 inches and do a hip joint.
Huh.
So it has lots of parameters depending. And for pain, I mean, I can go on and on about all the different adjustments it does.
Do most physical therapists use cold lasers?
No, not in my book. I wish more did, because I go to a lot of big continuing ed conferences, and when we're in a room, and someone will say, well, how many have lasers here?
Right.
And there'd be 100 people, and maybe 20 of us will raise our hands.
Well, they're pretty expensive, right?
They're pricey. They're still expensive, but I'm a one person, really small clinic, and for what it does for my patients, I would buy it over again. Is I just think it's such a great technology, and it increases how quickly things heal. And I've treated people with a sprained ankle, all swollen. There's an edema setting, and I can do about 10 minutes of laser on that, and you can see the difference.
Wow, that's amazing.
It really works. It speeds up the healing. It amazes me over and over again how much quicker things heal. And it has a carryover effect. So I may spend 10 minutes doing the laser. What it's doing on the cellular level continues for 2 to 3 hours.
Amazing. So it sounds like you use it on many different things.
I do.
Injuries or...
All depends what's going on in the tissues or the part. I use it a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
And I have patients that have had it for something, you know, come for some injury or whatever, and then got what it does, how helpful it is. And they'll just call me and say, oh, my back's sore. Can I come in and just pay you for a laser treatment?
You know, Bonnie, we're coming up on the end of our show here. I can't believe it. But I guess I would sort of like to know, what do you like best about being a physical therapist?
helping, that I can help people feel better in some way or another. And animals. I also worked with animals, too.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, I think I'm just a natural kind of in the healthcare realm that I like being able to help. And I like being able to figure out. I like the new technology or looking at each case as an individual issue and figuring it out.
Do more people get physical therapy? Is it more accepted than it used to be?
I don't know that it wasn't not well accepted compared to other things since I've been a physical therapist. Everywhere I've been, like I said, they're crying for physical therapists. Okay. And I still get recruiters from agencies that call or email or send brochures all the time.
Interesting. So it's a great career for a young person looking for a job that you can help other people.
That is drawn into healthcare and doesn't mind working with people that are injured. Or, I mean, some of it's really difficult. Amputees and burn patients and strokes.
Yeah, so, I think you know, it would be.
You've got to have the right personality and emotional thing to be able to handle that and think about how you're helping and not, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I can see that. So when you break away and take a little time for yourself, what do you do?
Play with my cats. I like to dance. I love to travel. So I do a lot of travel, and I also take Spanish classes and go to other countries and do Spanish immersion.
Sounds like fun. Like, well, believe it or not, we're just about out of time here. So thank you for being a guest on the show. You've been listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. This show's called Our Town. It features some of the intriguing people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today we've been talking with Bonnie Macy, a longtime physical therapist in Port Townsend. Bonnie's cold lasers have helped quite a few people around this area. If you missed part of this show or you want to hear it again, go to kptz.org, open on the homepage, look down the left till you see podcasts, scroll until you reach Our Town, and there will be several podcasts of recent shows. Physical therapist Bonnie Macy has given us an intriguing look into the world of helping people. Now, stay tuned to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community programming.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by Sonny Flores.